This is To Scream Defiance at a Star, a Star Wars Rogue One fanfic written by Nine Moons 42 and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and is Jyn, although it does focus on the relationship between Cassian Andor and Jyn Erso, with additional tags for canon compliant,
spoilers, Rogue One spoilers,
canonical character death, POV Cassian Andor, together in death, heavy angst, extended scene. Author's notes. I saw the movie last night. The first thing I thought of really looking at in terms of fan work was that scene. You know which one. The one with the wall of light and the deceptively calm waves and the sand on the shore. This is, of course, incredibly spoilery. But I had to write it. It had to be written. It's all my feels. She was trembling beside him, and yet there was her shoulder wedged firmly into his side. There was her arm, none too steady, slipping down his ribs, caught somewhere in the middle of his torso. Burns on her boots and on her trousers. She was smoldering in places. She told him, briefly, haltingly, of holding on by her fingertips. Trapped somewhere high, again, and this time with blue waters that roiled with blood and fire far beneath her. She'd clawed her way back into the gantry. The job, she had said. There was a job that still needed doing. Thanks, she'd whispered, somewhere between the satellite dish and the sandy beach. And he would have reeled back if he could. Because she was thanking him? Why? When she'd wrestled some sort of hope that would never be hers, that she carried for the sake of everyone else, all other beings, and all of the planets, wrested that hope from the bloody teeth of her burning desire for vengeance. And she'd taken that hope, and carried them with it. Wrapped them in it, in hope that was jagged-edged and unflinching and despairing. She'd carried them from Yavin 4 to Scarif on nothing but that vengeful hope. She was thanking him. He didn't know what to say. He still didn't know what to say, having heard too much. He'd had the comlink. He'd heard the screams. Or the lack of them. K2, all sharp edges and disrespect until the very end. And then he'd had nothing but encouragement. Encouragement that frayed rapidly, shredded on laser fire. Bought them the time they needed. Locked them into safety. The blaster had come from Jyn. He would never have trusted the droid despite reprogramming him. How Jyn could have known to place a weapon in those black claw hands. Bodhi. Even a wreck when they'd found him on Jedha. He'd been shaking. He'd been nothing if not nervous. But he'd pulled through. He'd found a kind of steadiness when they had needed him. He'd found the strength to help. And he had died. Panic and resignation in his last breaths, with the communications link nearly complete, having given them those last moments, having gotten them through the shield. He had heard Bodhi say, shivering and nervous, Rogue One. That had been a good call sign. It wasn't nonsense after all. And they'd done it for the good of the Rebel Alliance. For the good of the galaxy itself, going against orders, going against all possible instincts of safety, and living to fight another day. The foolish hope of that name, lighting a beacon for all others to look towards. Shurut and Baze. He had no illusions as to their survival. Maybe they could have fought off one AT-AT. Maybe they could have torn through entire divisions of stormtroopers and elites. But the entire garrison on this planet? The garrisons that orbited above their heads? Even the Jedi would have needed reinforcements. There were only two. He didn't believe in the Force, but they whispered to it anyway. Take those two, he whispered. Shelter them. And the others, the volunteers. Alliance Command on the very edge of giving up and rolling over, and yet they'd come anyway. They'd sought out Jyn, knowing she would go her own way, and they'd fallen in around her, multiplying his solitary footsteps. He would have gone, Cassian thought, had he been alone. He'd have watched Jin's back if there had been no one but himself to do it, all the way from Yavin 4 to Scarif. But the others had heeded Jin's desperate call. They had heard her words and known. Would they be remembered? Cassian grit his teeth against the pain in his back and the fear in his very bones. Foolish question. There was still the very real danger of those plans being intercepted. All their work would have been for nothing if that were the case. Worry, gnawing, its claws snatching at his heart. And Jin's, he thought, and he glanced at the woman who was still carrying him. He had to look down in order to see her face. He'd had to look down in order to look her in the eyes. Slight shoulders and scarred hands, and the brave, blind despair in her eyes that she had transmuted into hope that she could give to others. But she had kept no hope for herself. He saw that now. He understood that the moment she said the word stardust. An incongruously beautiful word in the sterile, ugly metal bones of the data vault. She'd said she was stardust. It had to have been a name from her father, from Galen. And Cassian would blink away the tears in his eyes if he'd had any left to shed in the terrifying here and now. For who was his mother? Who was his father? He had lost them even before he had made his first kill. 6 years old and holding on to a blaster that he could barely reach the trigger on. No blood. Just cauterized through and through, and a being sprawled out dead at his feet. Just the echoes of that one shot, of that one kill, caroming around inside his head. Jin had kept no hope for herself, and yet she'd taken her father's hope. She'd rallied the Alliance, had found them hope when there was none to be found. And she was still burning up with that as she stumbled out towards the sands, with his footsteps helplessly following hers. He would need to raise his blaster. There was still every chance they would get cut down now, in the very instant when victory seemed like it was just out of arm's reach. And any moment now, this beach could get swarmed. If stormtroopers came over that ridge, if Alliance soldiers came over, he'd grant Jin mercy, he thought. He'd whisper his apologies and look her in the eyes and wait for her to nod. And he'd shoot her, then shoot himself. No, he heard her whisper. His blood turned to ice. She was lit up. But not by Scarif's son. Eyes wide, mouth moving. Was she praying? Was she cursing? He couldn't hear her, not a word between them. She was shaking. His turn, he thought faintly, and he fell to his knees. He could do this. He could lend her his strength when he could no longer take another step. He could say her name, make her turn his way. Jin. Jin, look at me. She fought him, only a little. And then she buckled and he caught her. Held her. He was only going to look at her now. He knew what that unholy light was. It had flattened the planes in her face, had trapped in the lines around her eyes, had illuminated her with pure dread. Jin, he said again. The plans, she said. Out of our hands. He watched her shake her head, not a denial. Was it all for nothing? No, no, he said firmly. You gave them what they needed. They had courage. They had resources. But they didn't have any hope. You gave them hope. My father's hope. And he would have been proud of you for delivering it to the Alliance. It was his hope, and you took it, and you made it yours. You turned that hope into the strength that we all needed, You and you alone, and only the rest of us following in your footsteps. He shook her, gently, willing her to focus on him. Even if you fail, even if we fail, the Alliance will still fight. You gave them the strength to fight. The sky was beginning to thrum, was beginning to scream, and he could feel the very beach begin to groan. Light in Jin's eyes. A deadly light. He had outrun it before, with K2, with Jin and the others in tow. They had escaped into light speed and safety then. There would be no outrunning it now. Now, he placed his hands on Jin's shoulders. Now, he looked her in the eyes. The trembling strength of her, worn out and still holding him upright. Tension in her arms, lines in her face. Nothing young about her, and nothing but fear now. He didn't want her last moments to be filled with fear. Last moments. What he could see of the water was churning now. The sky itself was groaning. Jin. Cassian, she said. And she wrapped her arms around him. She was mindful of the places where he was hurting. He didn't put anything past her. She held him, carefully, gently, as the beach began to quake. He held her, tried to take in every detail of her. Shrapnel in her jacket, laser slashes in her sleeves, the warm weight of her hands on his back, the hitch in her fearful breath. She pushed his head down to her shoulder. He went and breathed against her chest, grateful that she was there. He felt her sigh as it ruffled his hair. He would have wanted to curl up around the warmth of her. A scream in the sky. Chatter on the comlink. Something about Tantai 4, and something about a passenger on that ship. He reached for the device and turned it off. Jin, he whispered. Or he shouted. For the world was crashing and groaning, and he couldn't hear the beat of his heart or the rhythm of hers. The last thing he wanted to see. Her eyes, steely, steady, the tears that wouldn't fall. And he reached out to touch her face. The end. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded for Schmaler for ITPE 2017. You know why? Because these were your actual likes, read directly from your ITPE 2017 letter. Canonical character death. Not in the sense of grief mourning, but telling their story before they died. Giving them more depth through backstory and POV focus, making the character and their death more meaningful. Yeah. So. Unclear from a couple of those items, I do like suffering. So, here you go. Okay? You also asked for Star Wars Rogue One, the saddest canon. Fic that ends where the movie ends, aka everyone dying. So. There you go! Everyone dies! This was hurtful for me to read, and I hope it's hurtful for you to hear, because it hurt me a lot, and you asked for pain. And to everyone else, I usually, at this point in the podcast, I say, thank you for listening, I hope you enjoyed it, have a nice day, but this was painful. So I don't know if you enjoyed this. Why did you listen? This hurt my soul. I don't know. Thank you for listening, I hope you had a good cry. Have a nice day.